So good to see all of you here this morning, and just really thankful that you're here. I know we have some friends and family of people who are dedicating their kids, as well as people who are getting baptized. And right now, I'd like to invite the families who are dedicating their children to join me up on the stage if they would. That would be fantastic to have you with us. And this is, what are we doing? What are we doing when we dedicate children as in front of our church family? What does it signify? What does it mean? Well, the word dedicate really is the idea of setting apart for a definitive purpose. And we believe that God gives gifts, really good gifts. In fact, His Word tells us that. And His Word also tells us in the book of Psalms that children are some of His greatest gifts. When He gives children, He gives life to a couple or family, and he gives them a responsibility and a privilege of raising that life in a way that is profitable for others to benefit from that person being on this planet. And these couples that are standing in front of you this morning, they want to let you know that they recognize that the child that they're dedicating today is a gift from God and really belongs to Him ultimately. And God has entrusted their children to them for a purpose, that they might raise them to know and love God to the best of their ability, understanding that at some point their children will make their own decision about faith and what path they want to follow. But we have this great responsibility as parents to invest in our children. And so they are standing before you to recognize that, but also to invite your participation in the process. As they stand here today, they are recognizing, and even in my interactions with them as we were preparing for today, that, you know, this whole thing of child rearing is hard. It's tough. It's challenging. It's got great joys, but it also has great challenges that come along with it. And it seems to work best, and I think God set it up this way, that, yeah, He gives parents to raise their children, and He gives extended family, but then He also gives, in this case, a church family, a spiritual family, to come alongside these families to help them in their journey. And we are a part of that. And so they're standing before you, in some sense, inviting you into the process, in whatever way that might be, of helping their children in their journey. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up or start out, set on the path a child. Parents have this responsibility to start their children out, to set them on a path, is the way that it's said, and the way they should go. Guide them, direct them. It's right. It's what parents should do. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. The idea is we recognize how God's made our kids and then set them off on the path that fits who God made them to be, they'll continue to go down that path. It's not a promise that they'll always remain faithful to God in everything they do. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying that as we launch them in the right direction according to how God's made them, they will continue to walk in that path because that's who God designed them to be. Again, a great privilege that we have as parents with our children. So let me introduce to you the children who are being dedicated today. So we're going to start with Dakota. Hey, buddy, how are you? All right, how we want to do it? You want to come to me? You want to stay with Mom? Hey, I like it. Wow, nice sweater. Yes, look, Mom and Dad are right there, right? That's good. Yep, all right, here we go. So this is Dakota. Let's see how far his head can turn in that direction, right? There they are, they're there. This is Dakota Truth Beeman, son of Randy and Janelle. He was born December 14th, 2019, so he's just over 2 years old. He's the fourth child, and as you can see, he's got siblings, Jada, Maya, Luca, and they decided to keep the A thing going at the end of the name, so we got Dakota as well. And his middle name, Truth, was actually chosen first. Each child's middle name in the family signifies a value that they hold. Lily signifies purity. We have grace, justice, and now truth. You represent that. So Randy wasn't so sure about that at first, this idea of having a middle name of truth, until they went to church one day. You know, I have many roles here, but I never knew that helping name children was one of them. So they come to church one day after just having the discussion about your middle name, right? And in the message, I happen to make the statement, I don't even remember the context, that you can't have grace without truth. Decision made. Right? There you go. I'm sorry. If you blame me, growing up, I don't know how this is going to work out. But, you know, I'm sorry. But I think it's great. May you live for truth, little guy. I love it. I love it. So this is Dakota Truth. Would you like to go back to Mom and Dad now? Can you wave to everybody? Say hi. That was pretty good. That was pretty awesome. All right, next we have Isla May Froggatt. Isla May, yes. How are you guys? Hi, am I beautiful? Yeah. Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, I'll turn you out to face everybody else. They get to see those beautiful eyes you got. Yep. Oh, thank you. I don't know if that's because I'm scary or good looking, but we'll go with the second. So this is Isla May Froggatt, daughter of Tom and Emily. She was born on June 8th last year, weren't you? Yep, so you're about 8 months old. She's their first. Oh, yeah, you're the first. You'll have all the pictures of you and video of you. Yeah, that's how it works. Isla is Scottish in origin, so that's kind of unique in our culture. You may not have heard that name a lot, but certainly common in that culture. You would fit right in Scotland, right? Yeah, everybody, a lot of people have that name. And May is a popular name on Emily's side. Her great-grandmother, grandmother, aunt, sister all share that name. So you are certainly carrying on the family legacy. Yes, right, right. And I'm going to give you back before you start crying because that'll show that it was not a good idea, right? Thanks, guys. And last but not least, we have Abigail Grace. Oh, my word. I must say they progressively have gotten lighter, which is nice. Abigail Grace Capron, daughter of Alex and Ellie, and you were born November 28th last year, 2 months old. Aw. Also a first child and first grandchild on both sides. So, boy, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Celebratory, right? And Alex and Ellie actually moved from Minnesota to Pennsylvania in 2020. And so they're great to have both sets of grandparents, I think, are here, right? So welcome. We're glad to have you. And they plugged in here at Davisville. Abigail is named after Ellie's younger sister, who passed away when Ellie was 7. Her younger sister was 3 months old. So there's a family legacy there. And also Grace is after great-grandma. And also just a wonderful name in general to signify the grace that God gives to us. Yep. Oh, you're so cute. I could hold you for a little while longer, but I won't. Oh, I love my job. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Strong families start with strong parents who love God. That's just the bottom line. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children is the instruction. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. May talking about Jesus and who God is and how we relate to him just be a part of our everyday lives, especially as parents. So along these lines, I have two questions I'd like to ask each of you. You're somewhat spread out, so let me move over here a little bit. And let me ask you, first of all, will you seek to model for your children what it looks like to follow Jesus by obeying his word in your own lives? Yeah. All right. And will you seek to raise these precious gifts according to God's principles, to pray for them, to introduce them to Jesus at an early age, and to encourage them to love God with all their hearts? Yeah. That's a pretty powerful commitment. Dedication is also an invitation, as I said earlier, for the family, including the church family, to come alongside. We have a role in this environment in helping to teach, to model, to influence these children and to help these families. So I want to encourage you, if you would, as a church family, would you stand with me? It's just a sign of our affirmation and commitment and standing alongside of these families as we pray for them. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for Dakota, for Isla, for Abigail, these precious gifts that you have given to these parents. Thank you for forming them and creating them with a purpose. You have a purpose in everything you do, and you create people because you love them and you desire a relationship with them. And I thank you for placing these three children in families where their parents know and love you, and that the desire of their hearts is that their kids would too. And so I pray, Father, for these children that you would protect them. I pray that you would surround them with people and influences that are good. I pray that even from an early age, you will give them wisdom and discernment that when there aren't good influences around them, to say no to those things, to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness, but to do it graciously and gently and lovingly. I pray that as they grow, they would learn more and more about you and how much you love them and that they would come to want to know you more, and that they would want to give their hearts to you and receive the gift of eternal life that you offer to any of us. I pray that they would make that decision, that they would become followers of Jesus of their own accord in the right time. Father, I pray for the parents. I pray for Randy and Janelle, for Tom and Emily, for Alex and Ellie. Father, I pray that in this journey of parenthood, two starting out for the first time, one adding to those that they already have. But Father, in all cases, I pray that you would give them strength and wisdom, give them patience, give them perspective. Help them in those days when just things seem crazy, just to continue to be together as husband and wife in this journey. To help one another and to reach out to the help that might be around them to come alongside. Thank you for physical family, some of whom are gathered here today. Thank you for a spiritual family as we have gathered. And as we stand with them, Lord, help us to fulfill our responsibility in whatever way that might look like, to provide a nurturing and caring environment that we call Davisville Church, or a home environment, or whatever it might be, where these children are nurtured and encouraged in their faith and in their growth. Father, I pray that these parents would love you with all their hearts, that they would love each other as husband and wife, that they would continue to foster homes that are nurturing and supportive and safe. And Lord, in their journey, I pray that you would provide for them everything that they need, that you would be honored and glorified in their homes and in their relationships. And so we dedicate and commit these children to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Well, there, it's been said that you can't have grace without truth. Curtis Beamans, you can't have truth without wisdom. So maybe we'll see you up here another year. What do you think? Number five. So Randy's shaking over there. Well, we're going to transition here. We're going to be hearing a number of stories from a number of different people as they take the step of obedience in baptism. And stories are powerful. They're powerful. It's a powerful medium. For instance, you think of just recently the new movie from Spider-Man just came out less than 2 months ago, and it's already raised $1.5 billion in the movie theaters, going on the top 10 all-time list because of a story, a powerful story. Well, this morning, you're not going to hear fictional stories. You're going to hear real stories, real people who've come to know Jesus, and their lives have been transformed by Jesus, and they're looking to actively take steps of obedience in continuing to follow Jesus, just as our mission statement talks about influencing people to fully follow Jesus. That's what these individuals are doing. And what you're going to hear is a couple themes that are pretty common in their stories. Number one, you're going to hear this theme. As the Apostle Paul wrote this, he said, "For the wages of sin are death." You're going to have a number of people here who have recognized that in and of themselves, there's nothing there. There's a separation between them and God, and it's this sin that has created death, this separation from God. And they've acknowledged that. But then they've also acknowledged that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, their Lord. That God sent his one and only Son to this earth to lay down his life on a cross, to take away the penalty of sin, which is death. And you're going to hear those themes kind of over and over again in these stories of baptism. And so what is baptism? Baptism is their public declaration of saying, I want to identify with Jesus, of being buried as going under the water to their old way of life, a life that was ruled by sin, to being raised out of the water to a new life that is devoted to following Jesus. That's what baptism is. It's their public statement of I'm choosing to follow Jesus. So as we get ready for these stories, I want to turn your attention. The first one is going to be on a video here, and the rest will be live. So let's tune in to these stories.
My name is Mia, and I'm going to tell my story. My daddy has always taught me about Jesus. The more I have learned about Jesus, the more I have believed that he is my Savior. Jesus is my Savior because I trust in him to save me from the penalty of my sin. Jesus died on the cross and rose again for me and everyone who will believe in him. I want to be baptized because I want to follow Jesus. Also, Jesus tells us to be baptized, and I want to obey him. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I like this verse because it tells me that I don't need to be afraid because God is my light. He will always show me the right way to go. Another of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I like this verse because it tells me that I am created by God to do good works for Jesus.
Mia, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts in him as their Savior?
Yes.
Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and do you desire to follow him?
Yeah.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I did it. Woo-hoo!
Next, we have the privilege of Ben Britton baptizing his son, Ben, and his daughter, Anna. So why don't you guys come on in and share your stories with us.
My name is Ben Britton. I am 12 years old. I decided to follow Jesus when I was 5 years old. My mom was cleaning up the living room, and I was following her around asking questions about God. I decided that I wanted to ask Jesus to be my Savior, so my mom and I prayed together. A verse I like is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I like this verse because it reminds me that God loves me so much that he sent his only son to die for me. Right now, as a follower of Jesus, I know I don't have to be afraid of COVID because I know God will take care of me, and no matter what happens, is for God's greater good. I want to get baptized today because in youth group I learned that baptism is an outward sign of inward change. When I decided to follow Jesus, he changed my heart, and I want other people to know that I decided to follow him.
All right, Ben. I'm Ben's dad, so I'm excited to be here. Do you believe that Jesus' death and his resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts in him as their Savior?
Yes.
Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sins, and do you want to follow him?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's okay. Let me grab.
My name is Anna Britton, and I am 9 years old. I trusted Jesus as my Savior when I was 5 years old. My family was sitting in the living room with me, and my mom was talking about how Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. I wanted to pray and ask God to forgive me, and I wanted to become his child. So my mom helped me to pray and ask Jesus to be my Savior. One verse that I like is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I like this verse because it says that whoever believes in him and Jesus will not die but live forever with him. Another part of the Bible that I really like is Psalm 23. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know that God is with me and will help me through the hard things. I want to get baptized today because I'm on God's team and I want everyone to know it."
All right, Anna, do you believe that Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save you or anyone who trusts in him as their Savior?
Yeah.
Have you trusted in Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have Mina. She's going to come and share her story with you, and her parents are going to join her and baptize her today.
My name is Mina Galata, and I'm 9 years old. How I came to follow Jesus is I have grown up in a family of believers and friends who also follow Jesus, and I want to be like them. Praying to Jesus helps me when I'm scared. When I have been studying the Bible in Sunday school, I have learned that Jesus is our Lord, and he wants us to treat people nicely and with respect, and to say his name with respect too. I know and believe that Jesus conquered death when he died on the cross for our sins and rose on the third day. I know that I will still make mistakes even after I am baptized, but I know that when I pray to Jesus and confess my sins, he will forgive me. And by following his teachings, it will help me through life. I feel like Jesus has given me a wonderful family and wonderful friends. Growing up in a Christian family has really impacted my life. And getting baptized is another thing that I know would make God and my family very proud. My favorite Bible verse is Romans 8:38-39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to be baptized to be a good example for my younger brother, and to show people that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and that I love God.
Mina, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts in him as their Savior?
Yes.
Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it is our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Not only something Jesus asked us to do, but it's fun, too. All right. Vienna. Vienna and Nello, come on down. Share your story with us. I don't know if you need this. I think you're good.
Hi, I'm Vienna Nello, and this is my testimony. When I was 7 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior one night as I was reading my Bible with my parents and talking about how Jesus died for our sins and how we can ask him in our hearts. I knew at that time that I needed him in my life. After receiving him in my heart, I felt closer to him. He showed me how to be a better person. I am now so happy to share with other people what he has done in my life. I wanted to take this next step and be baptized that I can have a better relationship with him. My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he saved his only begotten son, so whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Anna, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts him as their Savior?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin? And do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Awesome. Vienna, it is my privilege as your pastor, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Church. My name is Ryan Scannell, and I'm 16 years old. I grew up in Philadelphia and moved to Bucks County about 4.5 years ago. I gave my life to Jesus Christ around 1.5 years ago, maybe a little bit before that. I do not remember the exact day or month, but here's my testimony. When growing up, parents and other family rarely told me about God, and I really only went to church a few times, like some Christmases. And for many years as a kid, I never thought about God that much. It was only when I became a teenager that I started to pray and do it often because I believed in a higher power, but I didn't know who that was. So I didn't read the Bible or know what God I was specifically praying to. And I did this for a while, and there was still an unsettledness in that. Months before I put my faith in Jesus, I started to become influenced by a Christian friend who I came to know within the last couple years. He started to talk to me about God and Christianity, and I had deeper convictions in my life to know God and what he wants for my life. Due to this, I started to read the Bible, starting in Genesis, and I also started to watch Christian content online. I watched a pastor's channel and other gospel-related channels. While reading, I started to feel conviction of my sin, knowing that I did not live up to the standards of Jesus' teachings, and I understood that I was a sinner. Throughout my time reading the Gospels, I came to believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again, and I put my trust in him as my Lord and Savior. Since then, my life has been different in the things I do, think, and desire because God's Holy Spirit has transformed me. My new desire is to deny myself and live for Jesus. He has saved me from sin and death. I continue to learn the doctrines of Christianity by reading the Bible and by guidance from other Christians. I decided to come to Davisville Church near the beginning of this school year. And a verse that has significance to me is John 16:33, where Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In this passage, the verse is in, Jesus tells his disciples that soon he would be going through something that will cause them grief. He also tells the disciples that soon after their grief will turn into joy. This verse has been a reminder to me through my Christian walk that Jesus has overcome sin and death for our salvation. God sent Jesus to be the light of the world, and I find peace in him. I want to be baptized today in order to obey what Jesus says in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am always with you, to the end of the age." This is naturally the next step I wanted to take as a follower in Jesus.
Ryan, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts in him as their Savior?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin? And do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Ryan, with great joy, it's my privilege to baptize you as your pastor in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Next is Winston Stauffer.
who not only has his own cheering section up there, he's got a group of guys here that you can't see all of who are here supporting him in this decision. But it's pretty cool. They call it the D group, but just a group of guys, small group of guys who support and encourage one another. You're going to see Winston be baptized and then Dave McCabe, and their group is here to support them in that step. It's pretty cool. So, Winston, share your story with us.
Hi. I feel like my testimony starts out like many others who grow up in a Christian household. I attended church with my parents here at Davisville. I went to Sunday school and participated in a lot of things like puppet team, the orchestra on Sunday mornings, kids choir, vacation Bible school, etc. It was around 2013, though, that my parents made the decision to leave Davisville, and my brother and I had a choice to make. We were allowed to either stay here or go find a church on our own. Making that decision, I either went to whatever church my parents were visiting or I didn't go at all. In 2014, I graduated from high school and went off to college in Kansas. And while I was at college, I didn't try very hard to seek out a church to join. I attended a few services at a couple places, but never really felt a sense of community or impactful scripture preaching at those churches. The thought of my faith being personal as something between me and God, which I could do on my own, became my standpoint. However, I was fooling myself. I never truly sought out God on my own, never opened my Bible. I would pray occasionally, but mostly because I wanted something. And although I was being exposed to that quote-unquote college experience, making poor advances in romantic relationships and spending time with people that didn't share the same religious views as me, I never compromised on what I was taught was morally correct. Or maybe God would not let me turn my back on what I had learned at church. The year that I graduated from college, I returned home, and my friend Dan Lapsley asked if I would be willing to help co-lead the 7th grade boys' small group at Access. Dan and I have known each other since first grade. I specifically remember him telling me to pray about the decision before committing to it, and that's what I did. I started leading that fall, and it's definitely where my spiritual renewal began. I did not feel qualified by any means to encourage and teach a group of middle schoolers to become strong followers of Jesus Christ, but God kept me there. Quick note, our guys are now 10th graders, and Thursday nights are one of the highlights of my week. A short time later, I was invited to young adults events, and from there invited to join a life group. Participation with young adults and being in a life group led me to join an accountability/discipleship group with my great friends and brothers in Christ, Dave and Ryan. Ever since I was asked to help with youth group, God has continued to lead me into areas where I not only am being filled with biblical knowledge and a heart that seeks His, but also into positions where I can encourage others to seek the Lord and help them grow in their own faith. This brings me to my reason for being baptized. When I was little, my grandmother sat with me and prayed with me to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and for Him to live in my heart. I don't think I had any idea what that meant at the time, other than it was something that Christians do. And as I grew up, my parents encouraged me to get baptized, but I never felt like it was something I had to do. I was mostly afraid of speaking in front of the congregation. But also, up until now, I was afraid of living hypocritically. I didn't want to proclaim that I was a follower of Jesus and not have any actions reflect that decision. Very recently, though, I've witnessed firsthand or have received word from others that I've made an impact in someone's life, and they have been encouraged to follow God more closely because of something I've said or done. But I know it's not me. It's God working through me. Around Christmas time, a member of our church body shared that a conversation we had earlier in the year encouraged him to stay at Davisville and his daughter join youth group. And since then, he's chosen to follow Jesus. I've also been blessed to be an encouragement to Dave McCabe as he's chosen to dedicate his life to the Lord, and being able to walk alongside Dave, Ryan, and Dan and others in their faith has truly been a blessing. I truly praise God for the growth of my own faith because of them. I've had opportunities to help serve people in the community and be a light to people who are struggling, whether it was playing games with the children of a refugee family or helping relocate those who had lost their home. These are things I would not have expected to be doing. I even see my coworkers noticing the distinction of my character, and that's all because of God's work in my heart. My faith has grown tremendously over the past couple years, and I am comprehending more and more the love that God has for me and his creation. The forgiveness of our sins and our salvation that we have through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has been overwhelming me, and I want to be obedient to God, not out of fear of punishment, but out of a repentant, joyful heart. So I've chosen to be baptized now because I feel as though God has made it clear that I'm living for him. My life verse is Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Winston, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts him as their Savior?
I do.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and do you desire to follow him?
I have.
What a privilege it is as your pastor, Winston, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Go ahead. This is Dave McCabe, and Dan Lapsley is going to be baptizing him. Share your story, Dave.
My name is David McCabe, and I'm professing my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I've been saved through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. I'm getting baptized to demonstrate that I've been born again, because as Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I was born and raised in a religious household, but I had limited knowledge of who God was, the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection, or the relationship I was granted with God through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I attended a public school and a Catholic prep class once a week. I would routinely go to church once a week and felt that I was honoring God's commandments. I spent much of my time and energy following Philadelphia sports teams passionately. Regrettably, the outcomes of the games would affect my mood for days, weeks, sometimes even months at a time. For me, this had become an idol. I was also overly competitive and prideful while competing in sports, even getting into fights with my own brothers. And I lost my spot. Despite these things, I felt I was a pretty good person by comparison. But as I've learned, we will not be judged based on human standards on the day of judgment, but rather according to godly standards. Yet, if you would have asked me at that time in my life if I thought I'd be going to heaven when I died, then I probably would have answered yes. As you can see, my answer would have come from misguided beliefs. I felt I could achieve my own salvation based on the works I had been doing, because I thought I was a pretty good person. But as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 state, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." These verses offered a valuable perspective that I was missing. Salvation and getting closer to God cannot be achieved on your own. That work was completed by Jesus Christ dying on the cross and resurrecting. I had a few moments that opened my eyes to the truth of God. The first being my sister, Rachel, listening to a podcast called The Porch that she recommended I listen to. Eventually, she found out that Davisville Church was a Porch Live location, and she convinced me to go check it out with her. It was refreshing to find that other young adults were seeking to learn more about God and to actively work on their relationship with him. I continued to attend these weekly gatherings because I had never heard these perspectives on God and how it applied to situations that we face as young adults. With persistent encouragement from the young adult leaders, I eventually joined a Wednesday night life group and got the opportunity to learn more about the Bible. It was something I would never have envisioned for myself years prior because I had never willingly opened the Bible to read it. As I continue to be part of Davisville young adult community, I have been blessed with the chance to attend the young adult retreat. This was the event that I believe I became truly convicted by God. I had experienced 30 other young adults devoting a weekend to preach godly messages, learn more about God, spend time in fellowship, worship and praise God, and seeing godly people loving one another well. I felt the spiritual blinders get removed from my eyes and ears. For the first time in my life, I heard the gospel as it was intended to be understood.
I had experienced God's love, and he was using his people to help bring me to him. It was a weekend and an event that I'll never forget. Praise God. Since deciding to put my faith in God, I've gained so much gratitude for how he has altered my life throughout the past year. The Lord has blessed my life with becoming part of the Davisville Church community, going to services each Sunday, spending time with young adults who are also trying to faithfully follow God, then transitioning into an already existing life group for medium adults. Yes, we call it that. God also presented me with an opportunity to help with youth ministry. I've had the chance to teach and walk alongside younger believers as I am learning more about God myself. A huge blessing for me has been God's gift of accountability partners. You just heard from Winston, also Ryan Markowitz. But more than partners of accountability, they're my brothers in Christ, and have become really close friends. As my faith in God has matured, I've began to appreciate how he has carefully placed people on my path, such as Dan Lapsley, who I'm asking to baptize me today, and many others throughout the Davisville Church community. God has shifted the meaning and purpose of my life, going from being self-motivated and self-centered to now trying to live a life that is honoring to God and being grateful that he has already paid the debt for my sins. Despite continuing to face trials, struggles with sin, and having doubts, I can praise God and remain thankful to him for helping me endure all things. Growing closer to God and in relationship to God and means to set aside worldly pleasures such as money, materialism, individualism, lust, or power. I know the faith in Jesus Christ calls me to take up my cross as Jesus did and to sacrifice my own personal comfort and laziness to instead spend time in prayer, help serve others, have a spiritual conversation with non-believers, and to make time to read the Bible consistently to learn more about God. I've also learned that God does not just desire our praises, but he wants a relationship with each of us. I am professing my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because he is worthy.
Do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts him as their Savior?
Yes.
Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Well, Dave, it is my privilege as your brother and friend to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm Kevin Osnick, and it's my privilege to baptize two men here this morning, and I'd like to introduce the first one to you, and it is Bill Smith. Bill, would you come and share your testimony today?
Good morning. I wasn't raised in or around the church, and never had any desire to believe in God. I've always had very little confidence in myself. And very insecure, gave no thought to how sinful my life was, and in and out of meaning relationships. And I reached a point when I was drinking too much, thinking there was no way out. About 3 months after my daughter died in a car accident in Southern California, I had started doing side work for a family who contacted me through a Craigslist ad. It wasn't but a few weekends before I realized they were Christian. They were very upbeat and very kind, among other things. It was obvious the Spirit of God was with them. And I can see now how God has worked in my life. So one evening in July of 2017, I was pretty tired of where my life was going, and I was laying in a hammock thinking about my options. So I began what I thought was more of a breakdown, but I now know that I was really reaching out for Jesus. The conversation grew deeper, and I soon knew that my only option was a relationship with him. So soon after this, a very good friend of mine had given me my first Bible. She wrote a verse in it, which was Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. I know I can rest in his words and be comforted by his promise. So he put her in my life, not only to be a witness of how loving and faithful he is, but her and I are engaged. So since I began my journey with Jesus, I respond to life much differently. By God's grace, I've been given a new life. I have so much more hope, joy, and self-control, which were my biggest struggles. There will always be valleys to walk through and temptation to face, but I know that Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sin, so my eyes will always be focused on him, because I know that without an honest and loving relationship with him, I could never see the kingdom of God.
Bill, do you believe that Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts in him as his Savior?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sins, and do you desire to follow him?
Yes, I do.
Bill, it is my privilege, upon your profession of faith, and as your friend and a fellow believer, to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, God.
I didn't need him anymore either.
And our last for baptism this morning is Michael Beditas. Michael, could you come and share your testimony?
Hello, everyone. Here is my story. I was born and raised in a Christian family, and I have been to church countless times. I remember when I was young saying the words, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior," but as I grew up, I began to go down a path that was different than what God wanted for me. I fell into alcoholism, I partied way too hard as a young man, and often would scream and yell and emotionally abuse my family members without even realizing it. I could write pages and pages and pages of all the sins that I have committed. I was blinded by darkness. I remember thinking at one point, this can't be right. I can't just do all of these terrible things, ask forgiveness, and go back to doing them all over again. But realizing that didn't fix anything, because my perception of what it meant to live as a Christian was not something that I wanted. Frankly, I found the idea extremely boring. And anyway, I thought it was impossible to change, even if I wanted to. Years went by, and then one day I invited my brother John to go play disc golf. I highly recommend disc golf. It's very fun. We finished our round, and on the way home, John asked if I had heard of a guy named Paul Washer. I said I hadn't. So he put on a sermon that Paul gave where he talks about how people who truly have trusted in Jesus and been made new will show evidence of their faith. They will begin to see their desires and actions change to be more in line with what God wants. They won't be perfect, but they will be different. Weeks went by, and I kept thinking about the message. I knew that my life wasn't different, and I began to wrestle with if I really was a follower of Jesus. Then one night, last September, I just prayed for what ended up being more than 2 hours. Up until then, I had never prayed for more than 2 minutes. This was different. Instead of just saying, "God, forgive me for all the bad things I did," I began to confess specific sins, shameful things that I have done, ways that I had disobeyed God, things that had hurt others. After a long time, I opened my eyes and I felt something I had not felt before, a true purpose. It was surreal. God had shined his light on me and forgiven me, and it felt so good. I was happy because I knew I had trusted Jesus and that I was different now. I wanted to kick down everyone's door and scream, "Praise Jesus." Since that night, I have seen God change me. Before, when there were arguments constantly in my home, I blamed Anna for them. Always, I was delusional. Now, the home is filled with love and laughter. God has taken away my desire for alcohol and changed the way that I talk and treat others. Before, I felt purposeless and unmotivated, possibly depressed. Now I bounce off the walls in excitement, waiting for what God has planned for me. All of this energy and excitement was a bit much for my family to accept at first, even for my brother John. But they are so happy for me. Now I'm a little more calm, but secure in the fact that I belong to Jesus and will enter heaven one day solely because of what he did for me on the cross to forgive my sin. I am a genuine servant of the Lord, and now my main goal in life is to help as many others know Jesus as possible. Before, I did not turn to Scripture to guide me, but now I seek to apply these verses every single day. In Matthew 5:14 through 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I am being baptized to demonstrate and declare that I have been born again and that my sins have been washed away. Thank you."
Michael, do you believe Jesus' death and resurrection was enough to save anyone who trusts him as their Savior?
Yes.
And have you trusted Jesus as your Savior to forgive you of your sin, and do you desire to follow him?
Yes.
Michael, based on your profession of faith, it is my privilege as your uncle and as your brother in Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
What a joy it is to be able to participate and be part of baptismal service here this morning. And we just ask that as you have watched each of these be baptized, you make a commitment to pray for them, to continue to go and uphold them in prayer as we go and see their lives shine for him. Matt?
That's right, and Jesus changes everything. That's what we just heard from a number of people and their stories. And as I was listening to those stories, the one thought that I had in my mind was that each of those individuals heard something from somebody else, right? And that's the process of discipleship. Someone passed on the truth to another person, and that's often the way God does things in our world. And so I want to just encourage you or challenge you to just ask God, who is that one person in my life that I need to be sharing the truth that God has given me? Who is it that I can impart some of those things with and encourage them and challenge them to take the next step of obedience in their lives, and as we continue to seek to model it in our own lives. And so would you consider that this morning? And what I'd like to do now is just go to a word of prayer, and then we'll have Tim will be coming up right when I'm done here. So let's do that. Father, thank you. We want to pray like Kevin instructed us for those who just took this step of obedience. As they experience this, in some ways, a spiritual high, Lord, of taking these steps of obedience, we know oftentimes we can be susceptible to attacks and things like that, Lord, where we let our guard down. And so, Lord, we want to ask that you would protect these individuals. We ask, Lord, that they may continue to walk this road of obedience in the everyday aspect of life. We heard from many of them the desires and where you have come into their lives and have changed their desires, that you have taught them what it looks like to have self-discipline and self-control, and that you have imparted joy in their lives. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to lead them as they walk that journey in their lives. And Lord, we ask that you would lead people into our own lives, that may be individuals that we can impart some truth to as well, and that we can encourage, and that we can have those folks in our lives that we can just help along the process of following your son Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for the stories here this morning. Lord, we can't help but think of those in our church family, though, that are still grieving and mourning loss, Lord. We think of the Long family and the homegoing of Mary Jo this past week, and for George and the rest of the Long family, Lord, would you comfort this family? Would you come alongside them? Would you anchor them in the hope that they have in Jesus, as well as those who have experienced loss in the past few weeks in our church family? Would they continue to experience your presence in a new way? And Lord, as we just look into your word here briefly this morning, would you encourage us? Would you challenge us through the words that Tim is going to come and share this morning? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we prepare to wrap up things this morning, I really want you to grapple with a question, and I want to invite the worship team. You guys can come on up and get in place for our last song we're going to do together. But what did you observe? What did you observe today? I just don't want you to walk out of here and forget what you heard and what you saw. If you're already a follower of Jesus, I hope that you are challenged and encouraged, that you're not alone, that there are other people who have found something like you have found, like I have found, that the idea of following Jesus isn't about just a system of rules or rights and wrongs or do's and don'ts. Absolutely, following Jesus involves doing things and not doing things, but at the core, hopefully what you heard is it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with the God who made you and desires to be in relationship with you, not just now, but for eternity. And so we as a church desire to see people influenced to become fully follow Jesus. That's a part of who we are. You'll see it downstairs. You'll see it on the screen here. We want to influence people to fully follow Jesus. Why? Because we believe that there's no greater relationship that you can have apart from a relationship with Him. Again, the God who made you, formed you, died for you. And these stories that we heard today are a reminder that of God's work in our lives uniquely. Each one was unique. And yet in God's way, He brought them to a place where they understood that they have a need. And their need is for a Savior. That there's things we've all done that are not what God would want. The Bible calls that sin. We're all selfish, rebellious people in our hearts at some point or another, and it gets expressed in all different ways. But the answer for that isn't human effort. We can't fix that problem. And thank God Jesus came to fix it for us. And when He gave His life on that cross, as you heard different people mention, something significant happened. At that event in history, our sin was paid for. The perfect sacrifice was offered that satisfied all of God's judgment. And now we don't need to experience that judgment. We can experience God's grace and mercy because of what Jesus has done. And I'm so thankful for that. And I am so excited to be a part of a church that wants to help more and more people understand that truth, because it is life-changing. And so if you're already a follower of Jesus, may we all be challenged to renew our commitment to this God who loves us and wants to use us to influence others to fully follow Jesus. As Matt said, you heard different accounts of how people were influencing others. You saw parents who want to influence their kids. You saw the result of parents influencing their children. You saw young adults being influenced by other young adults. You saw people being influenced by their spiritual leaders or by friends. We all can play a part in that. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're sitting here or watching online, and you're maybe pondering this, I would ponder it. You need to think about what you just saw, because this is for real. These are real people with real stories about their encounter of Jesus. And you know what? Jesus wants you to encounter Him too. He wants a relationship with you as well. And He's done everything that's necessary for you to enter into that relationship. He paid the price that you can't pay. All you need to do is submit yourself, say, Jesus, I recognize I need you. And I want that relationship, and I desire to submit to your leadership. As we do that, He welcomes us, and a new life begins. It's not a life that all of a sudden becomes perfect in every way. No, we're all on a journey. But it's a life that's being transformed as Jesus changes us more and more into who He wants us to be. We're going to be starting a series next week in the book of Titus. It's a small letter in the New Testament. And you might hear that title of like, woohoo, we're doing a book called Titus. This sounds great. But the idea being that in each book of the Bible, God has a message for us to understand and to respond to. And in this book, we're going to see a lot about how God instructs us to do good. He wants us as His followers to do good. We're going to see that theme over and over again. But I thought I'd just read one section before we sing this last song. This is found in Titus chapter 3. Just listen. Because this idea of doing good isn't to earn merit for ourselves. It's out of gratitude for what God has already done for us. And maybe you've heard it already today. The message has already been given. But let me give it to you one more time. Paul writes, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, being declared right with God by His grace, undeserved favor of God, we might become heirs, adopted children of God, having the hope of eternal life, not just for this life, but life forever, life to come." This is a trustworthy saying, he goes on to say, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God, here it is, here's our instruction for those of us who are followers of Jesus, may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Again, not for our credit, but for the honor of the one who rescued us. May we be people who live that out on a daily basis. And may God use that in our community and in our homes, our workplaces, our classrooms, our sports teams, and the avenues in which He's placed us to influence people to fully follow Jesus. Why? Because He loves us enough to die for us, and He desires a relationship that will transform us and give us life, not just now, but for eternity. Let's sing the song together. Would you stand?
Well, families celebrate together, and that's what we did here this morning. And so thank you for making a priority to celebrate with our church family. Whether you're here in person or online, we thank you for that. And an encouragement this week is to go and live it as we go our own ways. Go and live a faith full of following Jesus. Thanks for being here.